trust the Lord has blessed your week, and that he will encourage us today from his word and through the fellowship of the saints, so that we can serve him in the week to come. So I'd like to turn your thoughts and your attention to Proverbs chapter 16, and bring some thoughts to you from the chapter here, particularly verses 1 through 4. You know that Proverbs is a collection of wisdom sayings. They're short tidbits, you might say, of wisdom. And the idea there is that they're just reflections. They're useful. They're memorable. We probably have memorized at least a few of them in our lifetime. And we find ourselves relying on many of the Proverbs for practical living. Sometimes, in some of these chapters, there is a recurring theme that's generally not the way the Proverbs is put together. But in chapter 16, where we'll be studying, there is a recurring theme. And that theme is planning and providence. And that's kind of the subject for today, planning and providence. For example, chapter 15, one of the themes in the previous chapter is the tongue. And I thought of sharing with you from Proverbs 15, but I decided on this, and maybe next week we'll do chapter 15. But I'd like to talk about planning and providence and the balance. There are balancing factors, and balance is an important part of life, not only physically, to maintain our balance as we walk about or maybe ride a bicycle. Sometimes people have problem with balance, just mind that does funny things, and they can't keep their balance. But we want to keep our balance spiritually, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 4 of chapter 16 as we embark upon this very brief study of planning and providence. So the preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue from the Lord, Proverbs 16:1. Proverbs is poetry, so these verses are usually poetic. They're lines, and the lines relate to each other. So you have two statements here. The preparations or plans of the heart are in man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You have similarly in verse 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits, or the motives. 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And number 4, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. And you can see that this theme is continued on, for example, in verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And then in verse 20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoever trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof or of it is from the Lord. So there is definitely a recurring thread here in chapter 16 on planning and how our planning relates to God's providence. So that's encouraging that on the one hand, the Bible tells us to plan, to think about what we're doing, to think about where we're headed, to think about our future, to make plans for the future. But it also encourages us to not totally rely upon our plans, but to trust in the Lord. And let's examine that a bit and delve into it in some detail here. Now, the first thing that we see in verse 1 is what I'll describe as we plan, but God performs. We plan, but God performs. He performs, that means the idea there is that he operates, he implements, he puts into effect. So we plan, but God puts things into effect. He provides the means. He provides. God plan, we plan, but God provides. Providence. Planning and providence. So the preparations of the heart and man, preparations just refers to planning, giving thought to our lives and what we're doing, where we're headed. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The answer of the tongue here just refers to that which we read about in verse 7, for example, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Verse 9, especially, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So the answer of the tongue or the steps or the path that we take is from the Lord. Verse 9 again, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So here we see planning, devising our way is not meant to be in a bad sense. It just refers to planning, to thinking about your future, our life, our lives, and yet trusting that to the Lord, that God will do it. So Kyle, who is an Old Testament commentator who has often many warm and devotional thoughts, especially good on the Proverbs, states, and I'll quote and paraphrase just a little bit to make the quote a little more lively. So Kyle is talking about solving problems. Anyone here have no problems? We all have problems. So we're all about solving problems and issues. That's a big part of our planning for our future. So to solve a problem requires reflection, he says, right? The project, if we have a project, he goes on to say, we think about the project that we're about to embark on. Our hearts plan a project. How many people here have no projects? Well, we all do. So Kyle says that the consideration of these projects and the consideration of these plans is for the purpose of putting things in order, but all of these things that we do are part of the unfolding of, or are the business of men, but the answer of them all is from God. So he performs. He provides the answer. He provides the way. We plan, he provides the way. So what is the balance here? I'm sure you could explain it if you had the opportunity or if I asked you to do it. What is the balance here? We plan, but God performs. He puts things into effect. Well, the balance is that in life we are not alone. And that's very encouraging. We are not alone. Sometimes we may feel that we're alone. We may feel that we're just doing this all by ourselves, but we are not. God is with us, and he is working providentially. And another encouraging thing about this is that if we plan in the fear of God, then we will succeed because God will do it. He will do whatever he wills to do. For example, I read Proverbs 16:20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoever trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. So here is the encouragement. We are not alone. God is with us in our plans. Sometimes the future seems very daunting. We are afraid of the future. We are fearful of what may happen, or we want something to happen, or we feel that it'll never happen. But God wants us to trust him, and we can plan in the midst of those fears. As Proverbs 16:20 says, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. So planning, the preparations of the heart, that's for us. The answer is from the Lord. And so we have the first encouragement coming right out of verse 1. Now we'll move on to verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. That's the original Hebrew word, is spirits. Some versions translated motives, and that's okay. That's about the idea. The Lord weighs the spirits. A number of words would do there. He weighs the heart. He weighs the spirit. That's the inner man. I think motives is the idea. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. He thinks that what he's doing is right, but it may not be right. So that's the idea. It may not be right, but he doesn't know it. He thinks it's right. That's the first part of the verse. To the man, he thinks that he knows everything about his future or his plans. So the Lord weighs the motives. You know, Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. It's the idea that yeah, I don't fully know myself. I should know myself well enough and not be deceived about myself, but I don't know myself completely. And so that's the general idea of verse 2. So what is the balance here? What is the balance here in verse 2? Well, it is simply that we think we know, but the Lord knows fully. We think we know what we're thinking about or talking about. We may, but we may not know everything about it. We may be missing certain things, and not by fault, but just because of the limitations of humanity. We can't know everything. So we can only deal with what we do have, what we do know. So that's the balance here. We think we know, but he knows fully. Proverbs 21 and verse 2, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. It's the same idea. Proverbs 24, 12, turn up there for a minute. Proverbs 24, 12. Proverbs 24, 12, similar idea. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, does he not know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? So the balancing factor here is that we think we know all, or we think we know fully, but he only, alone, knows fully. The Lord weighs our hearts. We don't, you know, how does he do this? Do we feel his presence searching our hearts? Is it something that we just feel? Well, the only way for the Lord to weigh our motives is to that we subject ourselves to his word, that we subject ourselves to his word so that the Lord would search our hearts and help us to plow a little bit into what we're thinking and why we're thinking it. So that's the balancing factor. We should know ourselves. Unless a person is self-deceived, is purposefully deceived about himself, you should know yourself, know the state of your own soul. I think I know myself pretty well. I'm sure you would say the same about you, yourself, for that you know yourself pretty well, and you know what you're thinking and why you're thinking it. But there's always that factor that in the fear of God, we realize that we may be missing something. And so we should always be asking ourselves, why am I thinking this way? Why am I feeling this way? Am I missing something? Perhaps I don't see this clearly. Simple check on our thinking. Perhaps I don't see this clearly in our circumstances. Hebrews 4:12 speaks about how the word of God gets to the dividing of soul and spirit, to the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. So the word of God helps us to do this. And of course, this takes work. It's spiritual work. It takes reflection, meditation, and honesty about ourselves. It's not that we just let the Lord do it. Well, he does it through us. Kyle speaks about how the Lord helps us to see the true state of the matter and exclude all deception. And he says, only this way can man escape the danger of delusion. By placing his way, his external and internal life, in light of the Word of God, and desiring for himself the all-penetrating test of the searcher of hearts. Psalm 139:23, the verse that I mentioned already. So, and the self-knowledge corresponding to the result of this test. So the Lord does this through his word. And the more we know the word, the more we know ourselves. The more we subject our thoughts to the teachings of Scripture, the better we know ourselves. And the better that we know ourselves, in the context of Proverbs chapter 16, the safer we will be on the path. The preparations of the heart belong to man. The answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Verse 3, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. And so the more we search our hearts, we test our motives, and then we have this confidence that that we can plan and purpose in with the blessing of God. So the first thing then was in verse 1 that we plan and God performs, encouraging thought. The second is that we think we know fully, or we think we know, but God knows fully. And so therefore we go to him to help us to understand things more fully. And the third comes from verse 3. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. So notice the connection to verse 1. Of course, it's a vital connection here. Obvious connection, connecting the dots, so to speak. The preparations of the heart belong to man. I'm preparing, I'm planning. So I then, what do I do with those plans? I commit them to the Lord and trust that they will be established. That's what he promises here. Commit your works. That is the things referred to in verse 1. All the things you're planning and thinking about doing, and all the things that you're aspiring to have and to do, that you commit these to the Lord and your thoughts shall be established. So you can see it's all in the life of faith. There's no sense here in which you just pick and choose whatever you want to do, whatever you want to have, and then just say, Lord, just do this for me. Like the Lord said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. It's not a blank check. There's clearly there in that promise something to do with the gospel and thy will be done in the way I understand or in the way I live my life. So here, the balancing factor is simply this. Verse 3, commit your works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So the balancing factor is plan in the fear of God, think about your life, test your motives, proceed, and then leave the results to God. And the promise is that when you leave the results to God, then you gain the results. You leave the results, that's the first part of verse 3, commit your works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So you leave the results to God. You plan, you prepare, and then you leave the results to God. And the promise is that he will do it. Your thoughts will be established in the will of God, naturally. There are examples in Scripture of people who tried to force the will of God. You know, Abraham, Hagar, having a seed. And you know that whole story in the book of Genesis, how Abraham circumvented the promise, the will of God, and he went in with Hagar, and he had Ishmael. And so forcing the will of God is not what we do. You have positive examples of Joseph, for example, who was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, 20 years in Egypt, lost contact with his family, his father grieving because he thought his son was dead. He rises to power, and God brings good to Joseph's life and to the people of Israel. And so Kyle says we roll these matters onto God. We should roll, that's what the word means, commit, to roll it onto God. Commit your ways. It's like 1 Peter, cast your burden on the Lord. You cast it on the Lord. You roll it over to him. We should roll on God all matters which, Kyle says, burden us. Roll on God all matters which burden us. You say, Lord, I can't bear this burden. I roll it on to you. I commit it to you. Because their weight and difficulty, Kyle says, causes great anxiety. But nothing is too hard or heavy for him who can overcome all difficulties and dissolve all perplexing things. Then will our thoughts about the future and our duty and our life course be happy. Nothing will remain tangled up and be a failure, but all will be accomplished and the end aim will be realized. That's the promise of verse 3. That is the promise. The things that burden us, we roll onto the Lord, we plan, we prepare, we have that kind of positive view or outlook on life because we're trusting in the Lord. and we can be happy, and nothing really will entangle us. What's the balancing factor here in verse 3? The balancing factor. Well, I think it's just simply this, that we can't work at life without trusting in the Lord. We can't work at life without trusting in the Lord. And on the other hand, when we do work at life trusting in the Lord, then our lives will be less burdensome, and our work will be positive and our positive and good contribution. Finally, I have to stop shortly here. It's verse 4. The Lord has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. And this is just simply I think this is more like a summary statement of the big picture of things, because in verses 1 through 3, you have, it's almost like a sheltered life where, you know, you are with God, and he's watching over you, and he's providing for you as you fully trust in him. But then you look at the wicked and you say, well, what about them? You know, the wicked prosper, and the wicked seem to have no pains, and where does evil fit into all of this? And so that's what verse 4 is about. So that it's just an encouragement to remind us that God even uses the wicked, that he uses them to accomplish his purposes, the grand scheme of things. Kyle says that the will of God is always the former. Nothing happens to God through the stubbornness and rebelliousness of man. And that's kind of the idea. Derek Kidner says that the general meaning of verse 4 is that there are no loose ends in God's world. I like that. There are no loose ends in God's world. He ties up everything that we might think is a loose end. And so here the evil, the wicked, are considered like that, like a loose end. Well, what about them? How do they fit into this nice, neat picture? And it's just simply saying that the balance here is simply that God's purpose for everything, God's purpose, thy will be done, decides everything. He is in control, even of sin and wrongdoing. You know, the world is too big. It's just so big. Not in terms of expanse, but in terms of complexity, the world system. And we're just minute compared in the grand scheme of, but the encouragement for us is that as small as we are, as insignificant as one life may seem, God is watching over us all and accomplishing his purposes. Therefore, we can plan and prepare and meditate about our future, about our lives, about our desires, and the confidence that when we entrust these to the Lord, he will do what is best. Yeah.